can't complain. So we're just going to get this show on the road, if that's all right by you.
Yeah, right on.
Sick. So this is, we are just starting this show off right. CJLO 1690 AM, my host, Oren Loft of The Noisy Loft, bringing you loud, angry, and eclectic music this side of Dakari, particularly from the mobile unit, as we are no longer in CJLO, sadly. I believe this is the second time I've had you on my show. However, under drastically different circumstances than the last time, being in person. So, you know, the more things change, I guess. How have things been since you last time we spoke for your 2017 record? We've seen the new one now.
Yeah, we were busy. We did a lot of touring right after that one. 2018 and 19 were pretty busy. And then, yeah, things kind of came grinding to a halt for obvious reasons here. But we're still pretty busy, like, playing and writing together. And so, yeah, I mean, as much as we can't play shows, we're still working on music all the time and some music videos, too.
Mm-hmm. I promise I won't make this the... I'll try my very, very best to not make this the we're in COVID times in COVID times interview. I'm sure you're probably sick to death of those. They're presumably a dime a dozen with these days. So I'm glad you're keeping like the all those reflexes sharp. We're just following now. Since the last one, between Grand Rites and As Truth and Ruin came out, in these troublesome times. I assume you kind of had planned it different. How did you initially plan to release this record, and how do you feel it's stacking up with, you know, the caveats of the world as it is right now?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been, we probably definitely would have had videos faster, and have been playing shows right away. We had like a Canadian tour booked for it, so yeah, there was a lot of support that couldn't happen, and it just kind of slowed us down. But yeah, you know, the album came out doing pretty well as far as streaming goes. Like, it's definitely getting more attention than the last two, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also bittersweet because I think if we actually toured it, it would have done that much better. So it's a bit of a tease, but hey, you know, like, at least, like, stayed kind of relevant, I hope. kept us on the map until, you know, things can roll on. Or if this is the way things are going to be from now on, then, you know, maybe we can just have a spot on in people's eardrums.
Yeah, that's the you got to keep in there somehow. I definitely was a fan of the Partial Darkness video. That was, in the like, gotta keep out there, gotta keep shooting, gotta keep putting content mentality, also kind of coupled with, I feel like, just the spontaneity of the of how it was, clearly looks like it was shot. Can you tell us about how this concept came to be?
Yeah, that was definitely a little bit of you know, just sort of last minute improvising, trying to, yeah, because we couldn't do like a proper video at the time. Things were quite locked down, so we had to figure out how to do something remotely. So yeah, that was an idea that myself and Rob, the filmmaker, came up with. So yeah, everybody just filmed themselves in the shower. He spliced it together and made it kind of fun with like the sort of karaoke style words and shit, lyric video. Yeah, so we did what we had to, but now that things like this summer, things were mellowed out, so we did manage to shoot a couple of videos that will come out soon that are actually like appear like nothing happened, which is good, you know. Yeah, so which is also kind of nice to have videos come out in a time where you can't tour, so why not have something to keep the album relevant?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I can only imagine that's got to be like a, I mean, speaking from my own personal experience, it's always been like, you know, with work, and I understand you've been working throughout this time, am I correct?
Yeah, I work on the front line. Oof. Down here in Vancouver, so it's honestly, I've just been working more than ever, to be honest.
I can hardly imagine that. That's just got to be exhausting, and like from like personal experience, I always felt like shows were like the like little highlight amongst the work week that you can kind of look forward to. So I can imagine it's got to be at least a relief to have like shoots to like look forward to and plan towards, and just kind of keep, you know, it's hard to keep momentum going when it feels like the whole world's in stasis. How do you find that, like, that's been applied, like, how impacting you as far as writing new material goes going forward? And I guess avoiding the pitfall of also ending up into the post-corona massive slew of albums themed after it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm very aware that I think that people are writing songs based on what's going on, and that really hasn't affected us too much. I mean, not everything we've written has always been a little bit more personalized. We don't deal with too many political or, like, bigger themes. Sometimes, like, subtly, but not over the top. Try to keep politics and music kind of separate, to be honest, but... So yeah, this, I don't think that any of the sort of current events are going to affect the music so much. If anything, it's kind of affected how we write, I think, because, you know, everybody else has sort of had some downtime and they're coming up with ideas, and now it's less me writing and more everybody else, you know, more equally, you know, which is pretty awesome, because yeah, it was usually... Just by default, I kind of wrote most of the stuff because, like, everybody's like, yeah, I like your songs. Like, let's go with it. And I was like, anybody else have anything? They're like, no, really. And now everybody's like, hey, I got some riffs. Like, okay, sweet.
Sick.
So now, yeah, so it's a lot more fun. So I think the next record's going to have a little bit of a different vibe, with a little less consistency in a good way. You know?
Mm. Like, Brent,
yeah.
Really, really kind of look at it. So how would you approach a new song with, and how is it kind of altered with, like, the digital filter, like, through kind of having to write, I guess, at arm's length writing?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of demoing via, you know, GarageBand and just, like, crappy little, like, drum tracks that are, you know, artificial just to get the point across. You can do a lot more of that stuff, which is also kind of fun. You know, you kind of, like, map out a song to its fullest extent, and then you can kind of present it to the other guys, like, sort of complete it, and then it's easy for everybody to learn, and then you tweak it from there.
Mm. And, like, you kind of, like, try and approach, at least as far as the previous albums go, with kind of, like, a through line or storytelling angle as far as songwriting from my recollection. Is this new album kind of, does it have like a thematic through, like a lyrical through line? Is it telling a story, concept album kind of way, but is there a vibe to this one that you'd be able to give us a synopsis for?
Oh, for Truth and Ruin? Maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. It definitely, like, it's always conceptual in a lot of ways, just sort of chapters in my life. So Truth and Ruin is dealing with a lot of, like, the concept of kind of being honest with yourself and others to the point where it can be quite destructive, you know, like, you know, sometimes you sugarcoat things and tell little white lies to sort of, you know, make things easier on everybody, but rather the opposite of that, just being honest with yourself and others and how that can kind of, like, create some pretty serious rifts in your life. And yeah, so just sort of dealing with, like, relationship stuff and, you know, friendship and just, like, those sort of obstacles and just dealing with it in a brutally honest way and then sort of having to pick up the pieces afterwards is a lot of what that album's about. So yeah, there's some themes there.
And you'd be able to elaborate on a little bit as far as, like what would be your personal most, like, emotionally resonant song, and why would that be?
It's
kind of hard to, like, ask these things, especially because, like, there's no, like, I feel like the live angle too, and, like, how you play it and how you kind of, you grow to appreciate it in a set context also impacts it too.
Yeah.
So that's got to be definitely, like, a new way to approach even your own, like, this album just came out in 2020, which... While my mindset still is like, yeah, that's right now. It's like, it's, you know, a couple months back already. It's like, it's got to be, like, how do you reflect on that song? And how do you feel it's, like, you've reflected on the album post-release in a different way than you have? I've jumbled up these questions, so take your pick as to where you want to go.
To the point about, you know, certain, my line of work deals with, you know, a lot of death. So that song's about, you know, finding bodies, basically, like discovering dead people, and sort of that happens a lot where I work. So yeah, just dealing with like finding fucking corpses and just like sort of processing that. And you know, everybody processes that in a different way. Some people react right away and they're very, you know, disturbing. And me, I kind of just like buried it. It kind of came out in weird, unhealthy ways later on. So yeah, it's just basically that song helped kind of digest those events, you know, like those experiences. So yeah, that one big time. And then yeah, I mean, that one's still kind of relevant because it is more about a couple of incidents. Now I reflect back and I listen to that song, it's like, oh yeah, like that definitely was like me going through that at the time and writing as if I'm, you know, barfing out these experiences in a very therapeutic way.
That's good. I mean, like, it does feed back into it from, you know, my brief dig in here. You work in a housing unit in Vancouver, is that correct?
Yeah, it's like harm reduction, frontline stuff, the downtown east side. So yeah, I work with like, you know, pretty vulnerable population and, you know, a lot of mental health and addiction issues. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's definitely gotta be some heavy stuff to deal with, especially putting on a record and at this, you know, current point in time. This is definitely a looming reality that we're in right now. So there is some, I guess, if there is a time to be morbid, it is now for it, definitely, for sure. But I guess moving away from such a dour topic, though I do appreciate the candor and honesty. We're kind of like looking at, and you know, not to be the person who's like, well, let's just sweep under the rug the idea that we're in a terrifying nightmare scape at the current reality. Looking ahead towards a potential brighter tomorrow, you know, obviously not to sugarcoat, but also optimism. What do you think kind of, like, I feel like prior to everything being put on pause due to viruses, live kind of shows were taking a certain direction, specifically in, like, as far as the, like, summertime festival circuits were, you know, slowly boiling down to like the only big ones remaining. Smaller festivals and venues were kind of having a harder time, and now obviously it's a pretty dour scenario for them, but the ones that hopefully can make it through this, how do you see live music in an event wherein everyone will be totally safe to be, let's just use a deep cut reference here, and as close together as they were in your Half Past Haggard music video from the Barn Burner days, when people are comfortable enough being that close together, how do you think that'll impact the like heavy music scene?
I mean, I'd like to think that there's going to be a really celebratory time frame there, right post, you know, vaccine, once we can reopening begins. I think that there'll be a real relief, and I think the music scene, especially if borders are still shut down and it's still like they're just local shows can happen, I think it's gonna be like, it's gonna breathe some new life into local music that I think we've needed for a long time. So like, as a silver lining, I think that it would be good for Canadian music. Say us bands are allowed to tour again just in Canada. Well, I mean, yeah, it's like you're not going to get anybody from the States or Europe coming in to sort of saturate the market. You just got a bunch of Canadian bands touring together. And then people like, well, fuck, I can't be picky right now and say, oh, I'm not going to see these guys because I got tickets for X show next week that, you know, it's like now it's like, well, fuck, these are the only shows happening. And hopefully people open their eyes to Canadian music and be like, fuck, we've got a really good scene here. We don't necessarily need to like lean on, you know, American bands and European bands so much. So yeah, I think there's a silver lining there for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And like, I kind of feel like as far as like trending thing, I mean, not to, you know, trending is kind of pointless and valueless metric in the artistic world, in my opinion, but it's still something to keep in consideration. I feel like with, like, in the last couple of years, specifically in kind of the more, like, down-tuned heavy genres, we've seen kind of little throwback things here and there. We've seen, like, the comeback of, like, what was once considered taboo and, like, people adding, you know, just juicing in bits and pieces of, like, nu metal aesthetic for their sound, in which case decades prior would have been, like, people would have just been, like, jaw drop, like, what? You have done a panic chord? What is this? No, get back to Korn. We don't want this. Like, I feel like going forward, we're due for maybe some, I mean, not necessarily a throwback or, you know, we're due for kind of like a twist on how things, or a, like an upset to the status quo. Do you think that that could be on the horizon, and or, like, what's your hope for what the live kind of atmosphere will be like, and like in your, like, perfect idea of what a good crowd would be like and how it would be receptive to styles going forward?
Yeah, I think maybe hopefully, like, people will be able to let their guards down a little bit more again, and maybe lose this pretentiousness that's kind of like, at least in, you know, heavy music in Vancouver, it's, you know, the whole, like, standing with your arms crossed, like, I'm even guilty of that, like, I'm not gonna say that, like, to wipe that out altogether, but no, I just love to see some heads banging, you know, I'd love to see less of the statue thing and more like people like throwing themselves into the music and really engaging, you know, which still happens, but yeah, I just think, like, once people are able to again, maybe they're going to celebrate music a little bit more, lose their inhibitions, and I'd love to see that, because, like, you know, We certainly lose our shit when we're up there, so it'd be nice if that energy was, like, they attempted to match it in some way. It would be pretty fun.
Mm. And in the scenario where things are kind of, I guess, so positive side is we could see an entire change in the dynamic in live shows, con being in the event that things take a little bit longer. What would your, like, optimistic pie-in-the-sky idea of a, like, what's your sci-fi solution to having a concert with human beings, real contact, but no transmission, without the worry of a funding, or, like, infrastructure is not a scenario that you have to worry about? What would be the, like, your sci-fi solution?
Sci-fi solution?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean, like solving?
We looking at like bubble shows with people in
oh.
Like. Are we looking at astronaut mosh pits? We're looking at...
Oh, I see. Okay. Shit, that's funny.
A wall of death of only bubble boys starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I guess, like, oh, man, maybe, yeah, some sort of, like, weird fucking, like, suit you should wear. Yeah, like a bubble, but, like, maybe not quite as orb-like, you know? Like, maybe just, like, everybody's got to wear, like, a punk rock hazmat suit or something.
It's factored in with everyone's concert ticket. Sorry, everybody. It's going to be
$80,
but you get your suit.
Yeah, and then you're selling merch that are just fucking suits with, like, your logo on them or something. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah, that's a weird one. It's weird to solve that. I guess I feel like we'll just get to a point where people can, like, make out again.
Mm.
But, yeah, I guess that might not be anytime soon. So, yeah.
Well,
I have to go back to the drawing board on that.
Yeah, hey, give it some time. I have a question, actually. That's a little bit. I was listening to the new album, and it was just bugging me. Is one of the songs? Wait, where is it now? I had it written down, but one of them. I was like, wait a minute, is that it? I need to clarify. In Truth and Ruin. Is that a banjo I can hear in, like, one of the intro, like, in one of, like, the bridges? Or is that a, like, what was on that? During the, like, the kind of quiet finger-picky thing, or is that just guitar?
Yeah, there is a banjo.
Yes. Good. My ears do not deceive me.
We sneak a banjo part onto every record. You notice all three records have banjo in them. Yeah, that's something we have to do.
Is that, like, just to try and, like, fit it in, or is it like just like a little Easter egg for the long term listeners?
No, it's just coincidence. Like the first album, there was a part where our bass player at the time was a band, played banjo, and he had a vision for it, and he was like, "Oh, some banjo here would be great." I was like, "Yeah, hell yeah, like, yeah, that's incredible." Second album, it was already like Brock, the guitar player, same things. Again, I'm hearing some banjo here. So he included banjo, and then same thing on the third record was Brock being like, oh man, I can't. Like, I wrote a banjo part for this riff, and just like, yeah, it was never forced. It just like came out of like a love for banjo, you know, and just the sound. It works really well.
Well, phenomenal. I'm looking for. I'll be sure to keep my ears peeled for the next record, and like if I can spot that Where's Waldo banjo line.
Yes, be ready. I guarantee it's gonna be on the next one.
Beautiful. Anything else? Any songs you'd like us to play immediately following this little interlude on the show?
Yeah, play that one. Truth and Real. That's probably my favorite song on the record. So yeah, get that.
Hell yeah. All right, well, thanks so much for stopping in. Anything else you'd like to shout out while you're on air?
Just a shout out to my Montreal homies. Lots of love to the Sick Things and the Mountain Dust crew, etc. Guys.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Yeah.